And say hello to a man that does not need any introduction, but I'll give him one anyways. He is the executive producer, superstar, on-air talent of the entity known as ChurchMilitant.com. He is the host of the show that I'm sure many of you already watch. It's called The Vortex. He is a leading light out there in this battle against evil that we are all embroiled in. And I'm now happy and proud to say that he is also, now he may not be happy about this, but I'm happy and proud to say that he is also now a friend of mine. Say hello to the one and only Michael Voris. Brother Voris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. And what do you mean, friend?
Did I let the cat out of the bag?
Oh, no, no. You're just being presumptuous, man.
That's a good one. And you see, folks, that's why he's he and I'm me. So before we get started here, I was wondering, most of the stuff that I see you do on ChurchMilitant.com, a majority of it, is not done live. This vortex that you're doing today is live. Is there a special reason for that?
Yeah, I think when you go live with something, it gives it a greater sense of importance and urgency. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of the psychological reason. The other part of it is if you know, normally we'll do a vortex 2 days in advance, but given, and so whatever you happen to be seeing may have some relationship to something that happened in the news cycle in the last 48 hours. When we go live, it's about as current as it can be. And given all of this nonsense going on, this evil,
right,
call it what it is, this evil going on with these various bishops and these cover-ups of, the cover-up of all of the, you know, what has essentially amounted to sexual harassment by gay clergy of seminarians and priests and, you know, parish workers and chancery workers and, you know, all sorts of things. It's sexual harassment. It just happens to be gay. Of adults. And, Cardinal O'Malley of Boston issued a statement, I believe it was the day before yesterday, yesterday afternoon, I'm out of my date wrong, but whatever, very recently,
yeah,
issued a statement saying, well, you know, this is really getting bad. You know, we need to issue more than an apology. We need to do something about this. So I'm thinking to myself, here we go again. It's coincidental that it also happens to be Boston. But Boston, unlike with Cardinal Long, the whole, you know, priests attacking and raping altar boys, now they're, you know, sexually harassing adults. Again, gay priests in both counts. Here's Cardinal O'Malley in Boston saying, oh, we really need to address that. We need to address it now because the McCarrick thing, the announcement last month that, you know, Cardinal McCarrick had been, you know, found credible allegations about him, about molesting a, you know, 14, 15-year-old altar boy in the sacristy of St. Patrick's Cathedral at Christmas Eve, you know, 40 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, that has sort of opened up the floodgates, and all sorts of people are saying all sorts of things, you know, and it's a kind of hashtag Me Too, except in the church. And not the altar boy thing, but adults, seminarians. You know, the main revelations that came out, aside from the fact that he's a pederast, that came out about McCarrick, are that he used to take seminarians down to a beach house that the diocese bought for him, and he used it as kind of like a little sex palace. He would, you know, abuse and, you know, sexually harass and, you know, sort of thrust himself on seminarians there. And his story is not isolated. The mechanics of the story might be, you know, particular to him, but the larger story of sexually harassing gay priests is not. And so we said, you know what? We need to explode this story. Well, the funny thing is that Sean O'Malley of Cardinal Archbishop of Boston,
okay,
issued this press release. In the last 48 hours. And in that press release, he makes this comment that, you know, we have to do more than apologize. Thinking to myself, you all have known this. You've known this for decades and decades. That's why you're moving all the priests around who were abusing altar boys. That's why you're paying the settlements off to, you know, I think 3 or 4 settlements, was it, at least, that we know of, were paid off for McCarrick, for seminarians that he essentially, you know, thrust himself on.
Right.
And, you know, tried to, you know, abuse, harass, you know, whatever, bring her to his authority, and they either left, some priests left the priesthood because of all of this. They've known about all this. So once again, here we have this duplicitous approach that once we've been busted in public and it starts making the New York Times and the whole Catholic world starts talking about it, now we'll do something. That's disingenuous. And people who have let this thing go on for all these years, and only when it gets dragged out into the light because of lawsuits and everything else and secular media publicity, just like with the child molestation thing, now we have the adult molestation thing. Again, gay clergy is the common denominator.
Common here. Refrain.
Absolutely. You know, these guys have got to go. You know, Cardinal O'Malley, he should resign. Cardinal Dolan should resign. The entire hierarchy, the leadership, the hierarchy of the U.S. Church should resign. They have let this go on for decades, and it's disgraceful. It's cost people their lives, their vocations, their mental health, everything. And I know what I'm talking about because something like that happened to me when I was at Notre Dame. But beyond that, this is horrible stuff that's going on. Absolutely horrible, and these men must be accountable.
Yeah, and as you're saying this, I'm thinking of the scene in the movie Animal House where they're going down the list of the bad fraternity guys, and then he gets to Niedermeyer. Niedermeyer dead. Voris is right. We got to take these bastards, and that's. I think that is that's the call to action.
Yeah,
and
people, and you know, one of the things we're going to announce in this vortex, in an hour,
okay,
is everybody needs to stop giving money.
Yes,
they need to stop giving money. And now I'm certainly not the first person to say this. I'm probably the first one, I think, as far as I know, in the Catholic media to begin an organized collective effort across the board of faithful Catholics. The only place of the establishment church that people should be giving money to is their local parish, because they're required to, as one of the precepts of the church. You have to support your local church. Aside from that, that's it. Turn off the money. No more donations to the diocesan thing. Now, that's going to set a lot of priests, feathers in an uproar, because they'll be like, wait a second, they're just going to come take it from our parish bank account if we don't meet it. Too bad. Everybody in the church who cares about this issue has to now take a stand, and come up and say, you people need to solve this problem. You're the bishops. Most of you are involved in this, so we can see why you don't really have this great impetus to solve it. Well, you know what? We're going to give you an impetus.
Oh, yeah.
No more money.
Yeah, when
no
you cut the
more money.
When you cut the spigot off, then you get their attention. And everyone, you know how many times this has been said to me, and I'm sure it's been said to you 500 times more. Well, if the bishops were deprived of the collection plate, then a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen, because that's the incentive. As long as they're fat and happy and the checks are coming in, well, then they're going to continue the behavior. But while I have you here, I want to get into a couple of things with this. Michael Voris of churchmilitant.com. Now, you're going live with a, to be clear here, when you go live at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central, you're actually going to ask certain people to contact you about this, correct?
Absolutely.
So yes. Explain that to the audience, if you would.
Well, so what we're doing is sort of two things. Cut off the money, that's one call to action. The other call to action is we want to really begin to highlight this. So we're going to have a little, there was a meeting of a number of good well-intentioned, well-thought-out, very faithful Catholic media types recently, of which Church Militant was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, we know, because of all of the emails that those various groups and us and phone calls and contacts, and we got from all kinds of people, seminarians who had been, they're all of a sudden alone with the bishop, and he starts groping them. Priests who left the priesthood, priests who tried to speak up about this and got sort of, shunted off to, clerical Siberia. And this is the way business is done by these perverted bishops.
Right.
And there are thousands of victims of these guys. And we're just going to say in the vortex, look, now's your moment. Hashtag Catholic Me Too. Stand up and say what's been going on. Reveal it. Give names. Let's go. This same, every single aspect of the culture this has played out in, and yet when it hits the church, it gets this brick wall, and they're unaccountable, and they're non-transparent, and all of this.
Right.
How come, the biggest moguls in Hollywood have been brought down? The biggest names in the world of journalism, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, brought down. Businessmen, the CEO of Intel, brought down. And yet you come to these bishops and somehow they're completely sacrosanct. Nothing ever happens to them. No one ever calls for any sort of action against them. Nothing. that day has come to an end now, where they are completely untouchable. They have created spiritual and financial chaos and ruin. They have brought on the church with all of their perverted leaders and their little boys' club inside thinking and everything. The church has to be restored, and these men have to repent and confess publicly what they have done, repent, and get the hell out.
Yeah.
Get replaced.
Now, let's go. Rod Dreher writes this in part today. I want to read this to you, and then I'll get your comment on it. I'll give you mine, then I'd love to hear yours.
Sure.
All right, so he's talking about this guy, James, who was the first one, or maybe one of the first ones, that was interviewed and then publicly published by the New York Times on July the 18th. We all know how the story broke, right?
Sure.
So he got a hold of James, and James got a hold of Dreher, and Dreher conducted an interview. And in front of Dreher's summary, he writes this. Part of why the priests that know and why the enablers don't do anything about it. James, the guy who was molested as an 11-year-old boy, as an altar boy, as you mentioned, said this to Rod Dreher. Part of it is loyalty, he contends, and part is because many of them know too much about each other's sexual secrets and are bound by a self-protected vow of silence. Now, let's think about that, and I want your comment on this. So let me see if I understand this. So your internal pederast pervert vow of silence among your little sick brotherhood now takes precedence over priestly orders, a sacrament, the sacramental priestly orders, and the vow you took to Almighty God himself that you were going to be a good and faithful custodian of the deposit of faith that has been entrusted to you in the Catholic Church. It doesn't get any more clear than this of what matters to these men, and like you say, why they can't be allowed to stay. They got to go.
They got to go.
They got to go.
They're completely compromised. They're compromised. I mean, I thought one of the things that was very interesting, actually tweeted it out earlier today, one of the comments he made was that these men think they are above the religion and above God. And I think that's true. Absolutely, that's true. No one who believes in God and thinks that they're going to have to face a day of reckoning and, you know, be damned, acts like this. I mean, people make mistakes and they sin, but they go to confession. They go, oops, what I was doing was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. God, forgive me, please. Do my penance, blah, 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 blah. That's an entirely different mindset. Everybody sins. But when someone embraces their sin as normal and builds an institution, an institutional response and cloak around it, and then operates within those hallways and you know, ruins careers and tries to destroy lives, so they can keep the cover of this activity going, those people need to go.
They got
to
go.
They need to go. They need to be excommunicated and stripped of their titles. We don't get to do that as the laity, but we do get to withhold money. No more money, not a single penny. No more.
Now, of course, my friend, the editor of Regina Magazine, Beverly Stevens, has written extensively about this, and I think she's going to continue writing about this. I'm sorry, Your Excellency, but hands off my wallet.
Exactly.
Was the way she put it. Now, let me ask you, Michael Voris of churchmilitant.com, there's a live edition of The Vortex at 8:30 a.m. Central, that's 9:30 Eastern. If we can get the link, we will, I'm sure it's on the homepage of Church Militant. We actually are going to preempt our news, because I would love for our audience to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, there's... I mean, you just tune. Technically, I don't know how you do it exactly. Set up on your radio platform there, but if you just go to the site, it will be sitting right there playing live at 9:30 on the front page. Oh,
okay, so we'll grab the feed off a browser. But I want to ask you a question. When I first started watching you, it was back during the Synod on the Family, and you were live in Rome and did a couple of Vortex, and I thought, wow, this man's got it going on. And why don't you tell me what you really think, Michael? But now in hindsight, now, and when I asked your booking agent if I could speak to you today about this, after I got the press release yesterday on what you were going to be doing, the thought occurred to me, Michael, you've been to Rome several times. You were actually at a Synod on the Family. Weren't some of the creeps that we're talking about at the Synod on the Family?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just the same crowd. I mean, first of all, it's only four and 3 years ago. There was one in 14 and one in 15, the follow-up in 15. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think what people have to understand is these guys have gotten so brazen, you know, if you want to call it sort of the deep state of the church.
Sure.
They have gotten so brazen, and they have their ranks have swollen to such a degree that they don't even feel like they need to apologize really for anything now. And not that they ever needed to. Let me go back up on that. They don't. ever feel like they need to apologize because they think they're right. They may think every now and then they have to come out with one of those, you know, sappy crocodile tear apologies, which is completely false and everything else, and they don't really apologize for what they've done. They apologize to you because something's wrong with you because your feelings are offended by this.
Right.
And it's always one of those, you know, craftily worded things. And this is all diabolical. You know, this is, you know, Satan having moved into, you know, too many of the successors of the apostles. Just that line in Scripture just pops out at you every single time you think of this. And Satan entered his heart with Judas. If that could happen with Judas sitting 3 feet away from Almighty God in the flesh, it can certainly happen here, and it has. These men need to go. They have lost all moral voice, unless they happen to repeat what the church teaches, which they never do.
No.
Aside from that, they cannot be listened to. They are culprits. Their actions are beyond, you know, filthy, obnoxious, diabolical, perverted, twisted, and they're able to do all of this because the faithful keep fueling their machine with money. It has got to stop. If these guys had to worry about things that everyone else on earth has to worry about, you know, saving up enough money for retirement, you know, their health care, you know, plan, their copay, can they afford the prescription? How about their cars? Their
How about
insurance?
A place to live?
You know, a place to live. How about their food? You know, because they are completely freed from all of those earthly concerns, because you're paying for it, because they're completely freed from all of those earthly concerns, and they are mischievous-minded. They have complete, you know, aside from sleeping, they spend the other 16 hours a day doing nothing but plotting destruction. And they're able to do that because they don't have to deal with any of the concerns that the rest of the world has to. So, this needs to stop.
Yeah.
For good, faithful Catholic, you know, orders and communities and all these things, Catholics have always been and continue to be more than happy to donate money to help them in their religious work. But we'll be flipping out of our minds if we're going to donate to a bunch of perverts who pretend they're doing religious work while they're destroying souls, minds, hearts, and bodies in the process. No more.
I just think of all the religious orders that have not been filled, especially priestly orders. I have personally heard stories of seminarians. Brother Andre Marie was on the show yesterday and told me that he personally knew stories when he was in seminary of these psychological evaluations that were being given to identify the faithful.
Yeah.
So that the faithful didn't invade the sodomite seminaries, yeah, or Notre, or the one in New Orleans that brother called it Notre Flame, as it was known.
Yep.
I'd never heard this, Mike. I'm going like, good Lord, how deep can it get? But I want to give you the quote from James of the New York Times that he gave to Rodrigo, which, because you quoted this earlier, but here's what the man actually said. Quote: this is what Cardinal McCarrick, I'm sorry, Theodore Cardinal McCarrick, the sodomite sacristan, told this man as a boy. And this is what his opinion is now. This is how he relays it to us. Quote, they believe that man is better than God. That's not possible. McCarrick believed that he was my direct contact with God. He told me that hundreds and hundreds of times, quote, God will only listen to you when you are with me, close quote. Now, Michael, let's go to St. Luke chapter 4. What does the devil do? And the devil said to him, to thee will I give all this power and the glory of them, for to me they are delivered, and whom I will, I give them. If thou therefore will adore before me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, thou shalt adore the Lord thy God, and him and only shalt thou serve. Now, I'm on the fence as to whether or not it's Beelzebub speaking through McCarrick because he's possessed, or if it's just McCarrick who gave himself over so long ago to the study of Satan and he actually has employed it and he internalized it. But either way, this is almost identical
sure.
to what Satan told our Lord to try and tempt him. How do you like that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. And, you know, I want to make sure that people understand this is not isolated to McCarrick.
No.
McCarrick just got busted.
Yep.
This is not isolated to McCarrick. Let's assume for a moment, bad assumption, but for the sake of discussion, let's say it's just McCarrick.
Okay.
And none other. Okay. Every single article that has been written, that everyone has read, says everybody knew this. So maybe the action is isolated to McCarrick. Not true, but again, for the sake of discussion. But the larger thing, you know, first there's the crime, then there's the cover-up. There's this institutional cover-up and attitude, you know, that this can go on. How come the bishops, when they met in Dallas in 2002, once it was discovered that, you know, hundreds of their gay priests were raping altar boys left and right, they come out with their charter for children and young people? Why didn't you extend that charter? Because you all know this goes on. Why didn't you extend that charter to adults also? Let me ask you, if you're a seminarian, if you're a 24-year-old seminarian somewhere in the United States right now, and the bishop comes on to you, you know, privately, whatever, he's identified you. I mean, one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard in all of this is McCarrick went through secretaries in Washington, D.C., I'm sorry, in Newark,
okay,
left and right, went through them left and right because he would, you know, he'd go out to parishes, do confirmations, and he'd be looking at, like, the 14-year-old boys during the confirmation. And then afterwards, he would turn to one of his secretaries, whoever's secretary happened to be at the time, and say, hey, I'd like to meet that one afterwards. And then the secretary would go and say, hey, you know, hey, little Johnny Jr. Confirmandi, come over here. The bishop wants to meet you. And you know, it's twisted, evil crap. Now, everybody knew this was going on.
Everybody
in the church knew this was going on. Seminarians were talking and whispering amongst themselves, yeah, you don't want to get a phone call, you know, to go down to the beach house and all that sort of stuff. So if you're a 24-year-old seminarian and this happens to you, what recourse do you have?
None.
You have nothing. There's no independent authority outside the church to go report it to,
nope,
like they set up for the children.
Nope.
There's absolutely nothing. So you either just are sort of there and you're uncomfortable and you make up an excuse to leave the room. You can't go tell the rector because the rector is not going to, like, you know, go, what's the rector going to do? Go to the cardinal archbishop and say, hey, you pervert, leave my seminarians alone. You know, this is just how it is. The top brass of the church has become so infected with this evil that even if there are a few members of the hierarchy underneath them that are actually good and want to do something about it, they feel like they can't because they'll get abused and, you know, dispossessed of authority and lose their bishopric in a particular diocese or something like that anyway. And this has got to stop. And the only way to make it stop is it's got to be talked about. It's got to be talked about, and laity have to take action to the degree that we can, which is cut off the money and keep talking about it and exposing more and more and more. That's what's got to happen.
Well, you know, Michael, Michael Forrest of ChurchMilitant.com, going live at 8:30 in about 35 minutes, 8:30 Central, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, ChurchMilitant.com, with a major announcement and a call for action. Tune in live, or you can keep it tuned right here to the Crusade Channel. We'll have the audio version for you. If you want the video, ChurchMilitant.com. Michael, one of the things I hear from this, and we hear that, well, the laity got to do it. The laity has to do it. Laity has to do this. You know, the libtards, the left, is very good at this. And it's a myth that they gather hundreds of thousands of people together to get their way. They don't. They get 500 astroturfers, as Nancy Pelosi calls them. They bust them in. They print the signs in advance for them. They put the T-shirts on them. And it looks like a very well-organized mob, perfect for CNN cameras. And then they go out and they do what they're going to do. And the media dutifully covers it as if it, you know, it's organic and it just sort of happened here. And then they get their way. Why can't we do that? I'm seeing a sign that says Cardinal Weinstein at a protest.
It's exactly what we need to do, and it needs to be real grassroots,
yes,
not AstroTurf. And I believe there are, you know, what needs to happen is that the next USCCB meeting, which is sometime in the mid-fall, you know, it's usually the week after November,
right?
Catholics from whoever can get on a bus, hop on a train, drive a car, needs to go and protest that meeting and demand that these men resign and they change the way business is done in the church. This has nothing to do with the faith. This has everything to do with their evil. It must stop, and Catholics must demand a change, and a change in leadership, a change in process, a change in this failure to protect innocent souls and lives. These men don't care about them. They don't care about them, even some of the good ones who won't get off their keisters to do something. Open your mouths and say the truth.
Now, so I'm seeing signs that says USCCB, United States Confederate Catholic Bishop, or counterfeit, rather, Cardinal Weinstein. You can get creative with these signs. But, yeah, I think it's time for some public action. All right, I know you got to go to get ready for your big on-air appearance. I just want a final question here.
Sure.
You mentioned that you want people to go to use the hashtag Catholic Me Too, hashtag Catholic Me Too, or is it Me Too Catholic?
Catholic Me Too.
Hashtag
Catholic Me Too.
I'll confide in you. I'll tell you that I have a long time listener. I've known this person for years and years and years. When I started talking about this yesterday, Monday, in earnest, this listener wrote to me and sent me a 5,000-word account of what had happened to someone that she personally knew in her own family. Now, the bishop in question here actually did the right thing, and this priest was defrocked, turned over to the local authorities. He was prosecuted, and he served jail time. So it can be done, but my question to you is, I've known this person for a long time. I never knew that that their family had suffered this at the hands of a pederast priest. How many, it boggles the mind, but how many of these things could possibly be out there?
I believe there are thousands of these things. There are thousands of these things. You know, again, what is it? You've got, yeah, is it true that every single, you know, gay man who happens to be a priest rapes altar boys? No, that's not true. You know, too many of them do, but no, that's not true. A much higher incidence among gay men of child molestation than among guys who are not gay, or
yes,
homosexual, or same-sex attracted, whatever. Much higher, 10 times the national average. But for those men, you know, who have not done that, there is always, always this possibility, and it happens quite frequently. This happened with Robert Lynch, who was just the recently retired bishop of Tampa, St. Pete. He got sued by a construction company owner who had a well-built, I've seen him, but the word is this well-built, attractive son, adult son, who he took a shine to and used to take on trips with him and, you know, and everything. And eventually, you know, people are like, what the hell's going on here? You know, what the hell, you're inviting him over, he spends the night at your, what the hell is going on here? You take him on international trips, who's paying for that? And eventually, he was sued over it because of misappropriation of funds, because he had a crush on this guy, and there's no child stuff there, but you know, there's all the financial stuff that goes on. I mean, that the diocese of Metuchen bought and paid for a beach house with funds from the collection plate that faithful Catholics are putting in there to support their parish and their priests and, you know, all the other stuff that every diocese takes a cut of. They take that money and they go and buy a beach house for the bishop. And
wow,
what does he do? He and other bishops go down there and, you know, conveniently have, you know, one too few beds, you know, for all of the seminarians that are over.
Oh.
So, whatever, how many beds they had in their better bedrooms, they had three. He'd always invite four seminarians, so the one he wanted would have to sleep with him. It's beyond, this is just disgusting, and it has to all come out. It has to all come out. Nothing cleans thing up like sunshine.
Well, the effort can begin right here on the Crusade Channel, and you can also begin it right here with Michael's effort at churchmilitant.com in 30 minutes. All right, Brother Voris, thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it very much, Mike. God bless all your listeners. It's time for the lady to take the church back.
Let's do it.
All right. God bless, brother.
All right. God bless you too, brother. All right. Talk soon. Michael Voris, churchmilitant.com.